spiritual truths that are here. I pray that you help me with this task and speak through me, and pray that for all of us that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. God's call, no beating around the bush. All right. So we all have a personal responsibility. We all have a gospel call on our lives. And sometimes when we use titles, we forget that those responsibilities fall to each and every believer. We go, oh, that's the pastor. That's his job. It's the deacon's job. It's the elder's job. It's whoever, the Sunday school leaders. But really, God has put this call on each and every one of our lives. So when we talk about doing ministry, we're not talking about a class of people that do it professionally. All right? So because a lot of times, today we're going to talk about the call to ministry. People go, click, that's not me. And that's unfortunate that we do that. Because what we are assuming is the person, is the preacher, is talking about a call to full-time ministry. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about ministry, not a full-time call to be a minister. So, I mean, vocationally. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I hope you realize that there aren't enough pastors, missionaries, elders, deacons, bishops, whatever church background you're from, to take the gospel to every person in the world. But there are Christians that can. Acts chapter 1, 8. Jesus says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that what? Winneth souls is wise. We all have that call. The only difference is to what degree each of us incorporate that call in our daily lives. It's not a call for on Sunday. It's not a call that when the church has an outreach, and I want you to have an outreach, do you realize that we recruit very heavily the Buffalo area? We have a number of athletes that come from that school across the street from you. We're hoping that you'll win them and their families to Christ, so when they come, we have help in our mission at Brockport. They recruit all over the Buffalo area. So it's not just an event. It's not just an outreach. The gospel needs to be incorporated into our daily lives. Now, Jesus is hiring. And Jesus told us to look for opportunities. John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Oh, they'll never get saved. Oh, I'll witness to them later. Maybe next year when their birthday comes around, I'll take them out, bring them. No, no, no. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, now is the time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, today is the day of salvation. We don't know who that is. And if we try to figure out who's going to respond positively to gospel and who's not, we're going to miss somebody. We're going to miss somebody. But he says, say not that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you know that churches do not win people to Christ? Churches do not perform ministry activities, but Christians do. And sometimes we say, when Pastor Shear has an outreach event, then we'll do something with the gospel. No, 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 no. Monday through Saturday is our time to do the gospel. And then we hope they come and they hear the gospel and respond. And they can respond during the week as well. Christians are the ones. You know what's interesting? There was a gentleman in our church. He's now retired, moved to Florida. He was a developer. And we were in a meeting one time discussing our new building, and the topic of parking lots came up. And if it wasn't for the snowfall, I could go out and say congratulations on your new parking lot, but it's Buffalo, so it's covered with snow again. So maybe this summer when somebody else has another baby. Or you go on vacation. What month is that? Oh, end of June? Okay, yes. And I don't know if you heard, but I guess we're going to be joined a little bit more, Jan and I, in your church, Joe Lang. His son is now engaged to our daughter. Right. So maybe we won't be back. All right. So we were talking this one day, and he says, do you know why Walmart's parking lot is so big? Do you know why Target's parking lot is so big? You know why Penny's, if they ever stay open, you know why their parking lots are so big? Because they always plan for Christmas rush. Without the parking, people won't come. And they always build for their busiest time of year so people feel like they can get a parking spot and come. And what happens to those stores from little before Thanksgiving to Christmas? They always hire extra help. They always want to make sure. They want you to have a happy experience so you'll come back and spend more money than you don't have. You know what I mean? That's their hope. That's their hope, right? Is Jesus coming back soon? Has the last 2 years taught us how fast some of these policies that the Antichrist is going to implement, how quickly they can be adopted? I mean, I think he's coming very soon. So you would think when a big day is coming, he'd hire more people to go do his work. So there's two things. Someone isn't praying. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Sometimes we're afraid to pray that prayer because he may tap us on the shoulder. So someone isn't praying and someone isn't obeying. If the second coming is that soon, we must look on the fields that they are white already to harvest. Now, what are we talking about? We mentioned ministry. Again, this is not just full-time paid ministry. We all ought to have a ministry activity, attitude. So let's take a look at the process of the commitment, the process. And let me say this too. It doesn't always have to be an official church ministry. And Pastor, I hope this isn't teaching against how you teach. It doesn't matter. I'm up here. But it doesn't have to be an official church ministry. Do you know how many churches and church leaders have squashed the Spirit of God in their people? Because someone says, I've got this connection, and we're doing this soup kitchen on Saturday, and we heard some people had a need, and we started cooking and baking for them, and we got people coming, we're sure. No, you can't do that. It's not official church ministry. That's terrible. So as you hear the word ministry, don't just think about full-time, and don't just think about being plugged in to something you're already doing here. Think about how God could use you in a very unique way that a church may not be able to support that activity. But if God's put the burden on you, whatever he orders, he pays for. Whatever he orders, he pays for. So number one, general availability, the process of the commitment. Seeing your personal responsibility to investigate kingdom work. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're newly saved. Maybe you're new to this church. Or maybe you're coming back to the Lord. Whatever the story is, and you look around and you go, I don't know if God can use me. Do some investigating. Do some investigating. Don't look on the surface and say, God can't use me. You never want to say that. And you don't want to say the church can't use me. So do some investigating. Show an interest in ministry activity and see what God does with it. Number two, a commitment to serving in a particular ministry. Seeing your personal responsibility to be involved with kingdom work. So Sunday school, the little kids, aren't you glad that we can concentrate somewhat in here this morning? You know what I mean? Isn't it glad, you know, that junior and juniorette aren't in the middle of the aisle building Legos and little log cabins and playing bop-a-mole, and isn't that a blessing? Well, that's made possible by somebody says, yeah, I'll help out in a ministry. You know, and somebody had to come in and clean this week. Somebody had to get the church ready. Whatever the duties are, that next step of commitment is, hey, I'll get involved with a ministry. Okay, I'll get involved. I want to be part of the solution here. Number three. Now, I want you to notice the wording difference. Commitment to serving a ministry. Seeing the need for personal investment in kingdom work. You know, somebody says, yeah, I can help out once a month in the little kids thing, or I can do the nursery, you know, or I can get involved, you know. This is a little bit different, where you start to say, that's my ministry. You may not even be the leader. You don't even have to be in charge, but your attitude is, for me to live is Christ and to serve here is gain. Now, I know I just perverted the word of God. Please forgive me, but take the point. The point is this. You look at that and you go, man, that's like, I think I am built for that. I spent 7 years with junior high. And some people think I never left maturity-wise. You go, it's not just, hey, I'm going to fill in. Hey, pastor, I'm new here. Where do you need some help? Well, once a month, could you do, okay. And then after a while, after you do that, you go, that's my ministry. I love those kids. I love this. I love music. I love that. And I want to be involved. And now it becomes, you're not just attending. That becomes you. That becomes you. And then the fourth one is commitment to a life of ministry, seeking to immerse yourself in kingdom work. Even with all of its challenges, it's a wonderful thing to be able to dedicate your vocation and life to full-time service. And even until that point, it's okay for you to dedicate yourself to ministry. There are many churches around that do not have the size of a congregation to support a pastor or a staff. And so you know what? There's some couple there, some guy and his wife that just said, we're going to plop ourselves down in Cheektowaga. We're going to go to Tonawanda. We're going to go Lancaster. And we're just going to dedicate our lives to that and just trust God for it. And that's what we need. We need people at every step of that commitment process. But we need people, especially at number three, that just say, yeah, that's my ministry. I'm going to do everything I can to make that work. No, not me. Well, let's see what happened to Moses. All right. Before we disqualify ourselves further, let's see what happened to Moses in this passage. So, number one, the process of the call. We just looked at the commitment, the process of the commitment. Now let's take a look at the process of the call. Look at verse 1, Exodus 3:1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You know how God calls people to ministry? Just do today what you know he wants you to do. And then tomorrow, guess what? Just tomorrow, you do whatever it is that God's asked you to do tomorrow. And then repeat. Put the laundry back in on Tuesday, and you say, what are you saying? Do you see do we believe this is the word of God, correct? Do you see the term that God used here? The backside of a desert. No. I got to get called in a big church service. I got to go to a revival. I've got to go to some big evangelistic meeting, and that's where God will call. No! God called Moses, of all places, the backside of the desert. That's like, what? The lower part of Niagara Falls? You know, upper Tonawanda? Okay? The backside of a desert. God never lost sight of Moses, no matter where he was. So, man, I've got this job, I hate my job. I don't think God can use me in this job. You just do every day what you're supposed to do, and God will find you. God found Moses on the back side of the desert. It's interesting in Genesis chapter 24. If you remember the story, Abraham sends his servant to get a bride for Isaac. And God just orchestrated all those details for that servant. And then when he gets to Padan Aram or wherever he had to go, Syracuse, can't remember right now. He gets there, remember, by camel, you know, no GPS. They're just trucking along, hoping the camels get there. And God worked it all out. And this is what the servant said when he saw God answer the prayers of Abraham. I being in the way. Just be in the way. Now listen, that could be dangerous in a Baptist church. Because sometimes Baptists take that very, like, that's my mission. I'm just going to get in the way of everything. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? We need cooperation. But I being in the way, what is it that God has called me to do today? Oh, man, it's just dead-end job, and I look at where I live, and look what I make, and I don't have these. Just do every day, just that day, what God's asked you to do. Read, pray, witness, work hard. You know how we got involved with sports ministry? Because over a two-year period of time, we had a 15% pay cut. And I had to do something to help support my family. So I worked at Seabreeze as a security guard. You know, that's where all fallen pastors go. They use car sales, insurance, or they become a security guard at a small amusement park in Rochester. So that's what I did. Why? Because I had a responsibility to take care of my family. Did I want to spend that time away from my family? No. Did I want to spend that time away from ministry? No. But I had to do that day what I needed to do to fulfill the scriptures and support my family. And lo and behold, the director for Athletes in Action happened to be there one night, saw me, he knew me from before, saw me in the security uniform and said, Garrett, what happened? I explained to him, nothing happened. And he goes, would you like to help us start Athletes in Action at Brockport? And that was 12 years ago now. Resigned our position at First Bible Baptist Church in 2014 because God just blew the ministry up. And we couldn't do church, and we couldn't do the ministry out with the athletes. You know what? Seabreeze felt like the backside of the desert. Yeah. Seabreeze felt like the backside of the desert. It's hot. Everything is paved. We got to wear full-length pants, a uniform, a hat, the whole... Oh, it was the backside of a desert. And God used it to call us to the ministry that just saw 10 athletes get saved in the last 2 years. So just do today what God has told you to do. Now, what is interesting here is there were no road signs that said, Mount of God, 42 kilometers. Okay? You know, Moses isn't out there with the sheep and he's going, oh man, we went over here Thursday and Friday there, but there was no water. I wonder where we should go. And he's walking along, and there's a sign that says, Mountain of God. And Moses says, this is it. We're going to have a spiritual experience today. No. Do you know where Moses was heading? The backside of the desert. And when God is there, it's the Mountain of God. So you work for UPS. It's the Mountain of God. You work at a local bakery. It's the Mountain of God. You work at a gas station, it's the Mountain of God. You work for some insurance, it is the Mountain of God, because God wants to meet us there and do something with us, even though we feel like it's what? The backside of the desert. Man, I wish I could do ministry more. You can. Don't let your vocation get in the way of that. God may be calling you through that vocation. So, we see here just being in the way, just like Abraham's servant. Horeb means desert, arid, dryness, parched, solitude, desolate. Doesn't that sound like a great place for God to call somebody to ministry? right? Shouldn't it be a church, VBS, you know, outreach? No. The last place you would think someone would receive a call is exactly where God is going to meet us. Number two, watch for unusual events around you. Look at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. You know what God wants to do on a very ordinary day is to do something supernatural. Just like Natalie said to Jan, well, when I got up this morning, I didn't think I was going to accept Christ. What are we told to do? This is what? I just lost the verse in my mind. This is the, behold, the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If we had that attitude with every day that we would rejoice and be glad, we might be surprised how often God wants to meet with us. So notice Moses' attitude. God hasn't called him yet. There was just this supernatural sight, this very odd occurrence, something unordinary on a very ordinary day. You know how exciting it is to feed sheep, to be a shepherd? Do you know how exciting it is to watch them fall over and they can't get up and you have to help them? Do you ever, the life of a shepherd, I don't see that being offered at Erie Community College or Buff State or UB. Hey, you want to be a shepherd? Come to our program. We've got a new program at Bryant and Stratton. No, nobody wants to do this. And he's out there with these dumb sheep. And God's going to do something supernatural. We never know what any certain day will hold. God is always trying to get a hold of our attention. Maybe it's through a miracle. Maybe it's through a divine delay. Have you ever had one of those? Maybe it's a chance meeting or a change in your schedule. Maybe it's a message at church. Maybe it's a comment from a coworker or family member. And somebody says something to you and go, that's odd. You think about this. When Gideon is hiding from the Midianites and he's behind the wine press and he's threshing the wheat because he's afraid of the Midianites seeing it and coming and stealing it, and God says this to him, yo, dude, what up? And he calls him a mighty man of valor. Yeah, think about that. The guy is hiding because the enemy is down in the valley and wants to steal all their food. He's hiding, and God says, thou mighty man of valor. So maybe somebody drops a word on you. Maybe a pastor or ministry leader says, hey, have you ever considered such and such ministry? And if that seems out of the ordinary, don't take it as ordinary. Maybe God is using that to call you to a ministry. So watch for unusual events around you. And yes, I get upset when I'm in a traffic delay. I'm upset when things don't work out the right way, or I got my little schedule and God don't mess. Did I say that? No, not from the pulpit. But I get in that, and then God has to remind me, Gary, I'm trying to teach you something here. I'm trying to teach you something here. Number three, respond as if it was done by God. It does not state until the next verse that he knew it was the Lord. So you know what? He saw this thing, and he said, not only did he get his attention and he responded to it, but he responded to it, and I think his attitude was, I wonder if that's God. Now, Moses is no stranger to the supernatural in his life. Remember, after his mom gave birth, what was the law in Egypt at that time? If you had a male child, you had to kill him. So here she takes little baby Moses, 3 months old, can't keep him quiet. There's no nursery in church. So she makes this little basket and puts Junior in it and sends it off. The Nile, okay, the Nile is not a little creek. It's a big body of water. And she just trusts God and sends that off. Don't you think Moses heard about that story? You think about how he was found by royalty. Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be down at the river bathing and sees this. And of course, you know, you read the passage and pulls the blanket back, and right on cue, God pinches his butt and Moses cries. And what woman could resist that? And the nice thing is you can give them back to somebody after church. You know what I mean? Almost like grandchildren. And you think then Moses was clothed by a king as he grew up. Where? In the palace. And Moses was nursed by his own mother. Is that a wild story? She gives the baby up, just trusting God, didn't want him to die, and she ends up nursing her own child and getting paid to do it. So he lived his life in a supernatural state all the time. And so when he sees this burning bush, it's not like, I've never seen the hand of God in my life, so I have no idea how to react to this. He realizes that God has been involved with his life since a baby. Church, we were born with a sin nature. Where Moses was floating in the Nile, we were following the world. And we were found by royalty, and that was Jesus Christ. And we are clothed like a king with his righteousness. We are ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And we are seated in heavenly places. So church, when you go to work tomorrow, whatever you're going to do, look for a burning bush. Now, don't light one on fire. You don't want to get into a ministry God hasn't called you into. But church, you have a set of supernatural blessings on each and every one of your lives. So don't be surprised when you're on the backside of a desert and something extraordinary happens. Don't be surprised that God may be calling you to do something additional for his kingdom. We're either trapped by busyness or boredom. We're either in a state of frenzy or a state of frozen apathy towards God. Responding to the unusual sight provided an opportunity for an encounter with God. A casual response would not have provided the attention needed to see the significance of this event. Treat these odd, that doesn't seem to fit. That seems weird. Treat all these events as coming from God and listen to the still small voice. Number four, offer yourself without all the details. Look at verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him. Do you see that? The bush is on fire. He's out there. Stupid sheep pooped right on my sandal, you know, and he's trying to get, no, don't go by the cliff. No, don't drink that water. That's down water. That's downhill from another farm. It's all, you know, and he's out there tending to the sheep, and all of a sudden, wow, this bush is on fire and it's not being consumed. You would think that God, who's really interested in calling Moses, would start yelling out to him before he even got there. What was the mountain called? The mountain of God. You think God be talking to him already? No. No. God waited to see if he would respond and investigate the kingdom work. And then God talked to him. So offer yourself without all the details. Look at the rest of verse 4. God called to him after he turned aside, not before. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, what's up? What's in it for me? What did he say? Here am I. And did God offer him any details to this calling? He didn't even know it was calling. He thought maybe, you know, God's cell phone, the battery was dead. So God shows up in this burning bush. Moses, let's have a conversation. I can't get you on the phone. Maybe yours. Oh, that's right. We're on the backside of the desert. Yeah. The dude from AT&T, who was he? He was Verizon, you know. Can you hear me now? No, I can't. So God lights the bush on fire. Moses, I've been texting you all morning. What's up? No, no. God could have called to him at any time. It's when he turned to see that unusual sight that God said, I want to talk to you about something. And Moses has no idea what it is. And his response is, here am I. I'm gonna offer myself without all the details. Notice his attitude. He turned aside. He was trying to determine what was really going on. And turn over there, because I don't have a slide. Would you turn here with me quickly? Luke chapter 5, because I want you to see this wording in Luke chapter 5. Because, and I think I've said it here before, I'm sure you're taught it, but when something in the Word of God doesn't make sense, God is showing us something really wild. Okay? So when the wording, like with Achan, we would say that Achan took the accursed thing, right? That's what we would say. He went into the Jericho, one of the homes, saw the Babylonian garments, the gold, the silver, and we would say that Achan took that. But the Bible's very clear. It says that Achan was taken of the accursed thing. Do you see the difference there? One is I go over and I pick this thing up, but the scriptures say he was taken, covetous, idolatry. He was taken of that cursed thing, right? So watch this here, Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after this things, he, Jesus, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Now we would probably say he rose up, he left the table, and he followed him, right? When we record it, I mean, that would be natural to record it that way. Notice what he says. He left all, then rose up and followed Jesus. So there was a hard attitude as soon as God called. Before he moved physically in his heart, he'd already left the profession. We would record it that, oh, he put everything back in the box and he stood up and he followed Jesus. He left all before he moved physically. See the attitude here of Moses? So God, what's the pay? Is there any health insurance included? Now, Lord, how about a 401k? Am I going to get any Bitcoin out of this? You know, am I going to get some hedge funds? I mean, how many weeks vacation do I get out of this, God? And what happens is we treat the call of God like it's an interview for a job. Moses doesn't do any of that. Here am I. Isaiah, man, who we need somebody to do this. Isaiah says, here am I. That phrase is used several times in Scripture. Samuel says that to Eli, here am I. Isaac said it to Abraham before he was going to be offered, here am I. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Moses had none of those details, and he just said, here am I, Lord, here am I. Our greatest ability is our availability. Last one, number 5. Your walk with God will change. Look at verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, where are they? Their backside of the desert? Are they on the desert? So where are they at this point? In the mountain of God. How many times have you watched like a YouTube or, you know, maybe a ESPN shows rock climbing? How many of them dudes and dudettes, how many of them do it without any shoes on? No. I mean, those shoes are not cheap either. They're not the stuff that I got last time at the shoe department. So Moses is in a rocky, mountainous region, and God tells him, take your shoes off. Because you need to walk differently. Ooh, you think stepping on a Lego is fun? Right? You know, you ever break, a glass breaks, and you think you picked it all up, and then you come in the middle of the night to get some water or whatever. Ah! And You think, imagine walking around this mountainous region barefooted. Your walk is going to change. And let me say this, as God deals with each of us about a call or additional call or going deeper into kingdom work, you're going to have to wrestle with God just like Jacob did. And while they were wrestling, God just reached down and grabbed the sinew, the back of his thigh, and it said that Jacob halted on that leg the rest of his life. Everywhere Jacob went, guess what the question was? Hey, when I saw you at the picnic last year, you know, at the Super Bowl before you put the carpet in and did the driveway, what's with the limp here? I had an encounter with God. Do you want to get the people at work's attention? Do you want to get the people in your neighborhood's attention? Maybe you're part of a club. Maybe you're part of some other organization. You want to get their attention so they start asking you spiritual questions? You got to walk differently. On Monday, I met with the hockey team. 7 out of 23 guys said, yeah, I want to know more about spiritual things. Thursday, Jan met with the gymnastics team. 5 of those young ladies said, yeah, I want to hear more about Jesus. 2 weeks ago, she met with women's basketball. 2 of the young ladies on the team said, I got to know more. We had an event. I told you we did ice cream this week. This is nice. I feel a lot safer leaning on it than that other little stick thing you had over. And so I'm going to come over here and test this one. So Wednesday, we did an ice cream sundae for them. Team's going through a tough time, number of losses, coaches depressed. So I said, let me just come in and we'll do an ice cream sundae night for you. So we have 2 other folks come and help me with it from our church. Doesn't one of these gals go up to them and said, do you go to the same church as Gary and Jan? And they said, yeah, I'm coming. As soon as the season's over, I'm coming to your church. Now, I wonder if we drank like them or we talked like them, if they would have seen anything different in us to inquire about spiritual things. When you start investigating kingdom work, when you start getting involved with kingdom work, when you start getting to the point where you're making an investment in kingdom work, your priorities have to change. Your purchases have to change. Your pursuits have to change. Your passions have to change. Why? Nobody's impressed with how I walk like this. But they do notice if you walk different than they do. So our walk needs to change to be what God wants us to be in our kingdom work. Oh, I'm sorry, last one. Wouldn't be the first time a minister made a mistake. The purpose of your call will become clear later. You won't have all the facts when God taps you on the shoulder. When God tapped us on the shoulder July of 2010, I had no idea what was going to happen. We thought we were going to do this ministry 2-3 years and turn it over to some young buck. And as we've said to so many people, what started as a part-time job turned into a full-time burden. And God just changed our ministerial course. Look at verse 7. Back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard of their cry by reason of their taskmaster, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down. This little encounter with God on the mountain was the start of something big. God said, I am come down. And what's your purpose, God? He's involved with kingdom work. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, that land unto a good land and a large and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Gazuntites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God says, I'm coming down to do something. I'm coming down to stir the pot. I'm coming down to make some wrongs right and put my children in a place where I can use them even more. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to send you, Moses. Moses said, here am I, before he heard that. To go back in Egypt where he's already murdered somebody and he ran away from the king's family, to go back there? I'm going to send you that thou mayest bring forth my people. But the great thing is God is always with him. God came down to do this and invites Moses to be part of it. God invites us to be part of his kingdom work. And let me just say this. If somebody told me on July 23rd, 1978, what was going to happen with my life, I think I may have recanted my faith then. That was the night I got saved. I just wish I had understanding. No, you don't. You don't have the mind of God. You can't handle all that. I can't handle all that. Oh, if you knew. No, if I knew, I probably wouldn't have. But what did Moses do? Here am I. Here am I. Without the details. And yes, the calling does become clearer later. That thou mayest. It's a done deal. You can do it. God with you. And our conclusion. God's deliverance begins with a person. And it's you. And it's you. Your neighbors, Sunday school, teens, couples ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, outreach ministries, they all begin and flourish because of you. Because of you. Ezekiel 22:30 tells us that God sought for a man to make the hole, the hedge, and the gap to fill it. And sadly, he said, I found none. I found none of the millions of children of Israel that were alive at that day. God couldn't find somebody to stand in the gap to protect the nation and God's kingdom. We are to be about restoration and reconciliation. We're to be about missions and ministry. God is still looking for servants. Think of all the times that Jesus asked for help. And he still does. His earthly ministry, he could have just snapped whatever he wanted to happen. And he got people involved to help him. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are laborers together with God. Someone needs you to deliver them. Someone needs you to deliver them. You have unique relationships, and God has positioned you wherever he's positioned you, and no one else in that spot. God needs you to deliver someone. Will we answer the call? How close to the action would you like to get? Do you want to sit in the balcony, or do you want a front row seat to do it with God? Pastor? Praise the Lord.
That verse you quoted is our theme for our men's ministry this year. Yeah. Reminded me of a verse in Psalm 142. It was one of the verses that God used in my heart to begin our themes. 2013. God reminded me that in Revelation chapter 2, maybe I had forgotten my first love, needed to do the first works, said, Lord, what are the first works? Psalm 142, verse 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's our ministry. When someone says, no man cared for my soul, that's on us. In our neighborhood, in our corporation, on campus, there are people. They might not like you because they might not like your God. But we are to walk with a limp. Because someday they're going to need God. Lord, we're grateful and thankful. Challenged again in a mighty and a powerful way, personal way. How simple and how profound the call of God and the work of God and the ministry of God and the mission of God really is. It's simple and yet profoundly demanding. Lord, I pray that you would take just a moment in our hearts. I guess there were so many road signs along the way that there were words, there might have been pictures or illustrations or biblical truths that might have stopped you in your tracks this morning. Maybe the Word of God had answered a question, a dilemma, a need in your own heart. Maybe you're wrestling with the call of God on your life. Not to do great and mighty things, but just to be obedient today. And allow God to take care of all the details tomorrow. And you too in 20 years will be surprised as you look back and say, I had no idea. But God did. God was looking for a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, to use for his kingdom. And you stopped. You were curious. You said, I wonder what that is. Or I wonder what you meant by that. God spoke to me during that service. I had a special quiet time with God last week. And he spoke to me. I think it's time we fear God more than we fear man. Is God calling you? Is God asking you? Has God got your attention? Don't be afraid to say, here am I. He will make a way. Let's stand. My son Jason's going to lead us in our last song, our invitation song.